We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast presented by WynnBET. It's Friday, January 14th, 2022. Alex Perutha here with Shannon McEwen and Ken K-Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
In what might be the biggest news of the NBA season that was reported at midnight Eastern time, the NBA will stop daily COVID testing after Saturday for asymptomatic boosted individuals. That includes staff, players, although the staff is 100% boosted. So basically, if you are a boosted player in the NBA, you will no longer be tested for COVID every day unless you are symptomatic. If you are not boosted, you will still be tested every day, but I think over 70% of the NBA is boosted. This is huge news.
Especially a lot of people are pushing for, hey, don't test if you don't have symptoms, right? I am no expert in this, by the way. I just want to stress that. But
I think it's huge news just because of like the way that protocols have gotten out of control and that like 30, 40% of the league has entered protocols at some point. We had like 100 players on the injury report on any given time. Whether or not you think like it, I just for fantasy, for like quality of life of the NBA in terms of watchability, I think this was probably necessary. But it happened and it wouldn't be surprised if this is the only place that you hear from, because it's just not really a headline, in most other places. But congratulations, you don't have to deal with it anymore, probably, as much as you have been.
I think you're the happiest as the hourly injury update reporter, Alex, for RotoWire. This might reduce your workload.
I broke a record the other day. I think I wrote 95 updates one day, which was just a lot. But yeah, mostly happy. Maybe this is just news for me. This is just me. This is great for me. It's great for my job, you know, great for my mental health.
You could actually like evaluate players now instead of just saying who's sick.
I can do real work.
Right, exactly. It's a positive thing. That's the only way to look at it. You know, the NBA, they would not make this decision unless they, you know, they have data that shows them boosted players. It makes sense to go this route. So that's a good thing for everyone involved.
Amen. Typical Shannon, always Mr. Positive. Love it.
Ken, we have more, I guess, maybe neutral news, maybe good news. New York and Atlanta.
Yeah. Hey, the Hawks trade Cam Reddish to the New York Knicks for conditional first-round pick and throw in Kevin Knox. Reddish, you may recall, the number 10 pick in the 2019 NBA draft. This is his third season where so far for the Hawks, he's put up about 12 points, 2.5 rebounds, and a steal a game over 23 minutes. You know, Reddish has never been a great shooter. He's got a career. This year, he's shooting a career high 40.2% field goal percentage in his third year, but very athletic and really a defensive hound. Per 36 minutes, he averages 3.3 stocks, that steals and blocks per game per 36 minutes. could be a Thibodeau favorite here in New York. Alex and Shannon, what are your thoughts on Reddish as a Nick?
It's exciting. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. It remains to be seen, you know, to be determined how much playing time he's going to get in New York. But with DeAndre Hunter returning for the Hawks, he was going to be, you know, somewhat squeezed out of the rotation for Atlanta. And it's apparent by this move that he was not part of their long-term plans. But there's a lot to like with Reddish as a player. There's some inefficiency, as Ken noted. But, you know, over the, you just look at the seven-game stretch he had when Atlanta was shorthanded, and he averaged 31.7 minutes, 18.4 points, 2.6 rebounds, 2.1 assists, 1.3 steals. He shot 41%, 2.6 three-pointers at 39% clip, but 88% from the free throw line. So, I mean, that's an encouraging sign that maybe that shot will improve and the efficiency will improve. But the big question mark for me is just where does he slot in on New York's depth chart? You know, right now, I think they're a little bit, New York's a little bit flexible as far as how their rotation goes. I don't think Alec Burks is necessarily a starting point guard in the NBA. You have a lot of the offense that facilitates through RJ Barrett and Julius Randle. You know, is Reddish just going to be one of the wing options off the bench, or is he going to be thrust into a starting role where maybe you see Barrett handle the ball more, or Julius Randle? If you're in a deep enough league, maybe like a deep 12 teamer, 14 teamer, I think it's okay to take a flyer on Reddish if you have a dead spot on your roster, but you don't have to rush out and get them in shallower formats.
I pretty much agree with everything Shannon said. I think their rotation has been kind of cluttered for a while, and this makes it more cluttered. You know, again, Fournier has been up and down, only up when he plays the Celtics. Burks and Walker, like, again, I don't know how that's going to shake out. Obi Toppin, you know, occasionally would catch minutes at the three or the four. I don't know what this does for him. I think it was a good move for the future because Kevin Knox might not be an NBA player, and you get an NBA player in Cam Reddish. Although you do have to make a decision on whether or not to extend him within the next year, which is something. And yeah, he has been playing better. He has been shooting better. Not that he struggled in college from the field. I'm just kind of worried. Like, my initial thought, like, him and RJ Barrett, who RJ Barrett has played better this year, although has had some bad stretches. I think there are just going to be nights where Reddish and Barrett go like 8 for 32, and the Knicks are going to score like 85 points, and people are going to be like, oh my God. Like, it's just, I still think it's a positive, but
maybe the Knicks trades aren't done. Maybe they're going to, you know, collecting assets to make a move for a point guard. They need a point guard. Alex Burks is a wing. He is not a point guard.
No, they definitely need like a distributing type point guard.
Like Corey Joseph for Toppin.
Yeah. Corey Joseph would actually kind of make sense on them. Oh, I can tell you've thought about that one.
Yeah.
Shaggy's actually gone through and done the trade machine for every team in the NBA.
By the way, a little trivia for you two. Who's older, Cam Reddish or Kevin Knox?
I would guess Knox, but
I'm going to say Reddish.
Knox was drafted a year earlier, 2018. Knox is roughly three weeks older.
Interesting.
Both born in 99.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Reddish has some history with RJ Barrett as well. They played together in college, so it'll be interesting. I like him more on the Knicks than I did on the Hawks. Now that 100%. The Hawks are healthy. Now that the Hawks are healthy, you know, it's going to be tough. You know, I don't expect Kevin Knox to do anything in Atlanta. and you know, really moving Reddish coincided with DeAndre Hunter's return, as I mentioned earlier. You've got Kevin Huerter, Bogdan Bogdanovic. So they've got plenty, even DeLon Wright. They've got plenty of options at the 1, 2, and 3 to plug in now that Hunter's healthy. You know, it clears up things in Atlanta as far as I'm concerned. If DeAndre Hunter, I'm sure we'll speak to this later, but if DeAndre Hunter is available in your league, even 12-team leagues, he's worth picking up.
All right, well, Alex, put on your blue suede shoes and take us to Memphis, baby.
Memphis beat the Timberwolves last night, 116-108 for their 11th win in a row. Grizzlies now in third place in the West, just three games back of the Phoenix Suns. Ja Morant, 15th in fantasy points per game, ranks 31st in 9 category leagues per game. We also had John Conchar, 15 points, 17 rebounds in 30 minutes. Jaren Jackson Jr., of course, had 5 rebounds.
If you're a Jackson owner, how much does it drive you crazy? Conchar gets 17 rebounds. I know. Jackson typically only gets his 5.
Brandon Clark had 15 rebounds the other night.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain the over-under on Jackson's rebounds last night was 5.5 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be it for his career, I think. Nick and I touched on this yesterday or 2 days ago, so I won't go on a tangent about it. But Ken, you do bring up a good point. Taylor Jenkins potentially coach of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if this team was in the West Coast, we'd be hearing about them every day. 11 game winning streak, shooting up the West rankings. Jenkins, I mean. How many casual NBA fans can name more than 2 players on the Memphis Grizzlies? Ja Morant is in the MVP discussion. I just love it. I love the bump and grind Grizzly. I love it. Love it. Grind house. Bring back Tony Allen.
No, we're good. We're good there.
Make him an assistant coach. I don't know.
I do think it's interesting that this win streak coincides with, you know, Brandon Clark returning. I've been a huge believer in Brandon Clark, you know, since he came out of college. You have Jaren Jackson reaching. He's reaching the peaks that pretty much everyone in the fantasy industry has, you know, thought he would reach at some point. He's hit that in the last handful of games, averaging well over 40 fantasy points in the past 4 or 5 games.
Over two blocks a game, too, for the season.
Yeah, he's been crushing it. And then you also have guys like Dylan Brooks, who, in my opinion, is vastly overrated and more of a minus on the court than a positive. And I think we're seeing that with the Grizzlies and this stretch.
Yeah, he's
Brooks,
out.
Brooks has missed about 8 of those games.
And out for 3 weeks, too. So really no reason to hold on to him. How about Desmond Bane? I'm still mad at Danny Ainge just giving Desmond Bane to Memphis. We had that pick. But we had to hold on to Carson Edwards from Purdue because Lord knows we're going to need him on the G League squad at 5'2", whatever Edwards were. We give that first round pick to Memphis for some garbage in the future and Desmond Bane, a locked in starter on a top 3 Western team.
Yeah, I remember Bill Simmons tweeted about that and was like very much having he was coping a lot, you know, on Twitter and just being like, well, it's a situational thing. If the Celtics would have ruined Bane had they drafted him. And I'm like, you can't come on.
No.
Instead of Neesmith,
I was angry was like, draft night. That was my big angry thing on draft night. Carson Edwards. We could have had Desmond Bane. Look at him. Bane's like a foot taller and built like a brick house. Perfect Grizzly, by the way. Perfect Grizzly.
Oh man. Okay. We also had the Bucks destroy the Warriors last night, Ken.
You must have enjoyed that, Alex. Yeah, it wasn't close. It wasn't even that. It was 118-99. It wasn't even that close. Warriors scored some buckets in the fourth quarter garbage time. So in the East, we have 4 teams within 2.5 games at the top of the standings. No Draymond Green for the Warriors. No Drew Holiday, though, for Milwaukee. Klay Thompson, in his return, was only 3 of 11, had 11 points in 21 minutes. Giannis just threw up a casual triple-double, 30 points, 12 rebounds, 11 dimes in just 30 minutes. I love it when you have a triple-double and get to rest at the end of the game.
He had, like, over 50 fantasy points, like, in the first half. It was insane. Yeah. That game was over at halftime. Between that game and then the Denver-Portland game.
Oh, the two national games.
Blowouts were tough last night. I'll tell you guys off air about the Denver Portland game. I was sitting pretty in the GPPs before that game went blowout route.
It totally went blowout route. Our boyfriend Cotto had a nice game for the Nuggets. put that in the mispronounced names. Campazzo. What's Campazzo's first name again? The Argentinian?
Facundo.
Facundo. Yeah, thank you. Thank
when
you.
Alex says it, it just feels like he's insulting me.
Oh, man. Okay. Last piece of news here. Last month, James Wiseman had cleanup surgery for his meniscus that was, I'm going to call it secret. We had a secret, the whole podcast is secret theme today. Does not sound like a big deal. I forget which reporter. Sorry if you happen to be listening to this podcast, obviously. was just very pressing and being like, why isn't
Anthony
Wiseman
Slater
back?
Of The Athletic?
Thank you. Why isn't Wiseman back? Please explain why Wiseman's not back. You said he'd be back. Cleanup surgery was a result of some swelling, which explains his delay.
You know, why wouldn't you go public with that?
I don't know.
Like, cause it just adds to the bad news vibe with Wiseman when you hide that, right?
It's really frustrating as fantasy player, right? Yeah. I mean, I foolishly have Wiseman stashed in enough places where it if I would have seen that news come out in December, you know, I would have parted ways, but I thought he would be back around the same time as Clay. So I held on, and now it's, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I've held on for this long. Might as well do it some more.
People are dumping on this kid. He's nowhere for a couple months. You'd think this would be a good PR move to stress like he's not healthy. We got, you know, we're worried about his health versus we're just going to bury him in the obscurity bin.
It is odd. The lack of updates for folks like him and Jonathan Isaac, who I actually saw Jonathan Isaac shoot a basketball this week. So okay. That's a positive development.
I literally thought you said like you're going to see him on like crutches.
Not him. You know, Jalen Suggs finally has his injury tag removed. And I saw a video on Twitter of Suggs and Isaac out on the court together getting shots up with one of the Grizzlies Magic trainers or coaches. It was a welcome sight, but the latest update on Isaac still isn't very encouraging. So we'll see. We'll see if he plays at all this season.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's get to our fan feedback, Ken.
Yeah, today's fan question comes from superfan Kool-Aid Trippin, who asks, in a nine-category league, I just traded Ja Morant and Devin Booker for Luka Doncic and Jaylen Brown. Which side of this deal do you prefer? I have my own answer on this, guys, but where are you leaning to? Ja and Booker or Luka and Jaylen?
Oh, there's some massive names to be traded.
Yeah, yeah. Blockbuster.
Wow. It's a ballsy deal.
It is a ballsy deal.
It's an easy pick for me. Alex, you ham and haw and weigh on in a little bit. It's the Luka side. And it's always if the equation is Luka plus one other top 40 player, that's the answer. You know, Ja Morant, we just mentioned how Ja Morant's ranked. You know, it is, let's see, 31st per game, nine category leagues. Ja Morant's a great player, fantastic player in real life, good player in fantasy, but he's also overrated because he's so damn exciting to watch. People love being a fan of Ja Morant. Ja Morant is not a possible number one overall fantasy option or top 10 fantasy option like Luka is. You know, Luka's had some ups and downs this year. But you get Luka, and then you add Jaylen Brown, who's also, you know, has top 25 upside. Yes, that's the side I'm taking all day, every day.
All right, Alex. Interesting, Shannon. Alex, where do you stand?
I mean, I think Doncic and Jaylen Brown should be the better side. It just hasn't played out that way this season, in terms of the numbers. So it's hard to like knock this trade. It's weird because this trade almost just comes down to the turnovers and the free throw percentage.
The boring stuff. Yeah, I was just going to say the boring stuff. Yeah.
Like you have Luka shooting 72% from the free throw line and almost five turnovers a game. Jaylen Brown historically hasn't been a great free throw shooter. Devin Booker's automatic. Doesn't turn the ball over like ever. It's kind of a weird hodgepodge of trades. I mean,
Plus, Josh shooting over 48% from the field.
Yeah, I mean, there's easily a scenario in which both sides win this trade based on what you need. Like if you're the person who did this trade and acquired Doncic, and you needed rebounds, then you may have won the trade because he's 8.3 rebounds, Brown 6.6 rebounds. You're adding. There's layers to this trade. Again, I think both players could win. I like it. It's crazy. I wish there were more trades that went down like this more often.
It's true.
Because it's fun.
It's true. All right. Well, take us to the next. Thank you, Kool-Aid Trippin. Take us to our next section, Alex.
Waiver wire. A lot of teams with four games next week. So we have four teams with three games and three teams with two games. And those teams are Sacramento, New Orleans, and Houston.
Yes.
Everybody else has four.
Good I get to bench. Avoid. I'm excited to bench Jaylen Green.
finally a reason to bench Jaylen Green.
Shannon's like, please get hurt again. I want to dump you on my IR.
Everybody has had someone like that on their team before.
Alex, who's your first pick available in 50% of leagues?
Brandon Clark. Rostered in 45% of Yahoo leagues, 88th in per game production over the past 2 weeks. That's 14.5 points, 8 rebounds, 1.6 blocks, 1.5 assists, and 68% from the field. This is the Brandon Clark that we all thought was going to exist last season, and he took a step back, sophomore slump, whatever you want to call it. And he wasn't even playing well this year until now. But we've had Steven Adams be out over the past, I think, 4 or 5 games. Some other players have missed time. The rotation's changed around a little bit. Clark he's making it happen again. You know, I don't know how much I trust this, like, for the whole season, but I think you give this a shot and see what happens. Because if he can stay playing 24, 25 minutes a game, we saw in his rookie year that he can put up these kinds of numbers. Like, this isn't insane for him. It's just a boost off of what we saw last year. So 100% worth mentioning, someone to strongly consider adding.
I love that. Amen. And man, RotoWire, we loved him last year.
I still
happy
do.
Happy to see. Happy yeah. to see. Finally. Very young.
I think you're going to see Memphis step back. You know, once Steven Adams returns, they're not going to just yank Steven Adams' starting gig immediately, at least. But I do think they're going to pull back on his minutes. And you're going to see guys like Clark, you know, they're going to lean more heavily on Clark and Jaren Jackson, of course.
They're going to put Adams out there for the first 6 minutes, just beat up the opposing center, and then he'll sit the rest of the game. He'll be like a starter in name only, and Clark will get more minutes, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
All right, gentlemen. Well, my available in 50% of leagues. Let's go to the Clippers. Amir Coffey, rostered in 34% of Yahoo leagues, only 4% of ESPN. He started the last four games for the Clippers, generating almost 13 points, 5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, and 1.3 steals per game over those four starts, plus shooting 53% from the field. We already know there's no Kawhi, and now rumors that Paul George might be done for the year. I want your opinion on that, Alex. Also, the Clippers have four games next week, so the 6'7 Coffey could be seeing a ton of time as a starting forward for the Clippers. Alex, what's the latest on the rumors for Paul George?
Well, the last news update we have on the site is that he's out 3 to 4 weeks with the elbow injury. Mm-hmm. That was on Christmas. Do we have new rumors?
I thought we got some rumors. Yeah, there are rumors.
I have not seen those. I was too busy being happy about the COVID stuff.
Let's say this, though. Even if he does come back in 3 to 4 weeks, this Clipper team, as we've been saying all year, desperate for scoring.
Yes. Yeah.
Why is he not coming back? Morris is too old.
It's worth giving Amir Coffey a cup of coffee on your fantasy roster.
Well done. Well played.
All right. I'm going to jump in, and this is a guy we've talked about recently. Still criminally underowned based on recent production, and that's Malik Monk of the Los Angeles Lakers. Monk continues to just crush it for the Lakers. He's been locked into the starting lineup. He's made about 9 straight starts for the team now. You know, a lot at the beginning of that hot streak, you could have just written it off as, you know, just a hot streak, a very, very easy, you know, this guy's caught fire from the floor and we're going to ride it out briefly, but it's extended to the past 8 games. Now he's averaging 33 minutes, 20 points, 3.6 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 1.4 blocks, which is insanity from a guard. And then
he's 6'3".
Yep, and then 3.9 three-pointers. He's shooting 51% from the floor. He's at 51%, 91%, 50% from downtown. You know, Monk, he gives the Lakers exactly what they need. He helps stretch the floor for them. When you have Russell Westbrook starting, that's absolutely needed. I believe he'll be locked into the starting lineup long-term. And he's still, like I said, criminally underowned. He's about 60% owned in Yahoo and only 23% owned on ESPN. If he's available in your league, go grab him.
Shannon, when Davis returns in about a week, of course, he's fragile, but when AD returns, goes back to center, LeBron goes back to power forward.
Yep.
They got Ariza, Bradley, and Monk.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
My reaction is Davis is going to get a lot of shots, but then you look at Avery Bradley and Trevor Ariza are the other options to bench when Davis comes back. And I'm like, oh, I'm benching one of those two. I'm not benching Monk. He's on fire.
They absolutely will bench Ariza or Bradley. I mean, it's possible Ariza wouldn't even be starting, you know, if Melo were healthy. I'm not worried about it. Monk's locked in. He's going to have 30 minutes per game moving forward. You know, they tried Horton Tucker. That didn't work. They prefer him off the bench because he's so streaky. You know, they cut bait with Rondo. This team seems committed to Monk, and I think he's bringing them a dynamic that they very much needed.
And my question was a horribly long way to repeat what we said last week, which is the other options are garbage for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Love it. Love Monk.
I'll jump into my long shot. Rajon Rondo, new member of the Cavaliers.
Played three games since joining the Cavs, 10.3 points, 4.7 assists, 4.0 rebounds, 1.0 steals in 22 minutes. The minutes are really kind of the important thing for Rondo here. Like, we know who Rondo is, right? He'll give you some nights, he'll give you 0 points, 10 assists, two rebounds. Some nights he'll give you a weird 15 points with like two assists. It's just, you might as well roll the dice, see what kind of stat line you get out of Rondo. If you're in a deep league and you need assists, I don't know what other options you probably have.
But yeah, I love watching Rondo on the random like national game for like a 6 months run. Cause one, he'll give up a layup to try to get an assist, right? He'll make some absurd half the court or longer bounce pass that you're like, why, what? And he's always yelling at someone he probably shouldn't be yelling at. It's just fun to watch the craziness.
Now, and Rondo's going to be locked in to that, you know, 20-ish minutes per game role for the Cavs. I mean, he's firmly behind Garland, and that will remain the case. But Colin Sexton's out for the year. Ricky Rubio's out for the year. This team was desperate for help at the guard spot. Lamar Stevens has been starting at the two. Lamar Stevens, I would not consider him a shooting guard. He's more of a three, in my opinion. Isaac Okoro will return soon. That'll probably push Stevens to the bench. But even then, Rondo's the only other legit point guard on this roster. He's going to get those 20 minutes. And there's going to be games where Garland sits, or if Garland is forced to miss any time in the future, we're gonna see, you know, vintage Rondo for any of those games where Garland sits.
They also don't mind giving Garland some minutes at shooting guard. And he's, yeah, frankly, a great scoring option. Yeah. They can make Garland Rondo work for runs, though Rondo's 35 and you can't push his minutes too high.
Ken, who's your long shot?
Let's stick with the craziness theme. Lance Stephenson is on fire with the Pacers. He's rostered in 35% of Yahoo, 7% of ESPN. Honestly, I don't even know if you should pick him up or not. I just love talking about the craziness. This Pacers post-trade deadline, that team could be crazy, could be totally wide open. We don't know if Sabonis is getting moved, Brogdon's getting moved, LeVert's getting moved. It wouldn't surprise me if fan favorite Stevenson suddenly get a ton of minutes after the trade deadline for these Pacers. Pacers have a four-game week coming up. Over the last four games, by the way, Stevenson, who disappeared from the NBA, he's only 31 years old. Like, he's not ancient by NBA standards. In the last four games, he's had three of his four games over 14 or more points, including a 30-point game. He's also had a 14-assist game. And when the Pacers are getting blown out, they love to go to crazy Stevenson time, and I'm all in. I love watching him go nuts. He's going to blow in someone's ear again. I can't wait for that to happen. But it's crazy town. Bring on the fun, baby. So, I don't know. I'm debating offering Lance Stevenson as my long shot pick of the week.
It's all right. You got to justify all those fab dollars you spent on him, Ken. I get it.
Yeah, I was going to ask him.
One of the leagues I wasted way too much. Yeah.
He is.
But then James Anderson came back and said, I was going to bid similar, so I felt a lot better. That was nice.
James is a nice guy.
That's a deep league. The CBS Keeper League's pretty deep, though.
Absolutely. And yeah, the two big games that Stevenson had came when LeVert and Brogdon were out. LeVert's back. Brogdon came back too, but then he left the game that he returned. He left early. He's a game time decision for tonight. We'll see if he's active. I do worry about Stevenson's long term playing time opportunity once Brogdon and LeVert are healthy. But in the short term, I mean, yeah, he's good. He can challenge, and for like minutes at the three, he can challenge Justin Holiday and Jeremy Lamb. Those guys aren't exactly crushing it. So
no,
I'm fine with Stevenson.
Do you guys think there'll be a big blow up trade for the Pacers? I think they're gonna make a lot of deals and aim to rebuild for next year.
That's absolutely a possibility. And if it is, I mean, Stevenson's one of the guys who could possibly get traded to, just as a add in to make contracts work. But no, he's, if you're in a deep enough league and you have a lot of fab, then, you know, pull a Ken and pick up Stevenson.
Shannon, who's your
long shot pick of the week?
All right, my long shot. This can double as Ken's dull suggestion of the week as well. DeAndre Hunter for the Atlanta Hawks. He's 37% owned on Yahoo, only 8% owned on ESPN, which is
crazy,
bonkers, absolutely bonkers. He returned on Wednesday, 15 points, 3 trays, 2 stocks. You know, we mentioned Reddish has been traded. Hunter has pretty much been locked into that starting 3 spot for the Hawks either way. You know, you have the Hawks are mostly healthy now. I think Capella is going to sit again tonight. But I really like Hunter as a fantasy option. He's, I would say, definite, probably immediate 12-team value. And he has the upside where he could carve out 10-team value as well. I wouldn't rush out unless I have a complete dead spot in a 10-team league. I would not rush out to grab him, but he's worth consideration depending on how deep your rosters are.
Yeah, Hunter was kind of in the middle of a breakout last year before he got hurt. Didn't start off on a great note this year, then got hurt. So a lot of people I just think are like, they don't even know what to make of him at this point. I think he's a great pickup. Like I'm high on Hunter as a long-term prospect. Hopefully it happens this year. Maybe you don't get his best production until after the All-Star break, but even if that's the case, I mean, again, we're talking about long shots. And the fact that he falls into the category, despite basically is you should be more encouraged by the fact that the Hawks just got rid of Cam Reddish.
That's the point I wanted to make. Yeah. That's the point I wanted to stress is you don't make that deal if you're worried about Hunter's wrist.
No, not at all. And that's another point is it was a wrist injury. It wasn't a knee. It wasn't a back. It's a wrist injury. He came out in his first game back, played 24 minutes. That's a very encouraging sign. Had 11 shots. It certainly seems like that he's going to be back to playing 30-ish minutes very soon.
I'll say I think Hunter is my favorite of our 3 long shot picks this week. But I also love talking about Rondo and Stevenson. So they're just fun to, yeah, they're just fun to bring up.
I wish they were on the same team, Rondo and Stevenson.
Oh, that beats it. Oh, crazy train. Let's play Ozzy Osbourne before every game.
Before we get to our DFS picks, we have to tell you about Yahoo DFS, Ken.
The NBA season keeps on rocking, and Yahoo is going big with daily fantasy basketball. There are a ton of big prize contests on Yahoo, including multi-entry contests now being shark free. To celebrate Yahoo going big on DFS, as well as Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 in site credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 site credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. Yahoo will have daily NBA contests all season long. Play a single game contest of your choice throughout the week and then join Yahoo's weekly Friday main NBA contest. That's tonight, baby, to compete for large cash prizes. Play daily fantasy basketball on Yahoo. Visit sports.yahoo.com/daily fantasy/welcome. That's sports.yahoo.com/daily fantasy/welcome to claim your free $10 offer.
Thrive is back for another season of fantasy basketball, and they're running guaranteed contests every single day this NBA season. With Thrive Fantasy, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier, high-flying, flip-doing, athletic dudes who like to put the ball in the hoop. That means you can focus on the Lance Stevensons and the Rajon Rondos of the world, the guys who have the biggest impact. You go sign up for Thrive today, and you'll get a free 6-month subscription to RotoWire. Here's how you claim that subscription: visit RotoWire.com/Thrive THRIVE. Create a new account and then deposit a minimum of $10 and receive a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. After you play in your first contest on Thrive, we'll notify you of your free 6-month subscription being credited. Go sign up now. RotoWire.com/Thrive.
If there's one thing
we appreciate here at RotoWire. It's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast, and they bring you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want to take a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET, currently available in 7 states, Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. And at WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. They are currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $1,000 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast.
Okay, gentlemen, Alex and Shannon, give us your wisdom for tonight's DFS picks.
It's a 9-game slate. There's only one standout over-under, which is Rockets at Kings, which is understandably 237.5 points. The rest of the matchups are around that 220 mark, with a low mark of 210 from the Celtics at 76ers, which I also believe is a fair number. There are fewer absences than usual, although I will still say you should check the RotoWire injury report, as always, given how early in the day this podcast comes out. Starting Saturday, there may not be as much. We should get a more normalized NBA. With all that being said, Shannon, is there anybody that stands out to you immediately off the page? You're muted.
Of course I am. It's better for all of us. All right. So there's one guy who immediately jumps out. If you use our optimizer or any of our tools, he's going to be the top value option listed for today. That'll probably carry over up until lock. Okongwu, he's 3,900 on FanDuel. Clint Capella is sitting again tonight. John Collins is back, and that's somewhat worrisome, but Okongwu is going to see, he'll see probably 24 minutes at minimum, right in that range, and he'll get you close to a fantasy point per minute. And there's upside. There's upside that he can certainly do more. If he plays 30 plus minutes, a double double with a couple blocks is the upside, and that's hard to pass up at 3,900.
Also, I agree.
Obviously, Noah Bam Adebayo for a long time. Not you're 7. Great offense, not great defense, right, Alex?
He puts up some blocks. I don't know if he's like an actually good defender, but he'll block some shots. Yurtseven has been carrying our stake league team of mine while Steph Curry has forgotten how to shoot a basketball. So that's been a weird development for me. I think there are a lot of good options, not as much value as we normally see. I mean, if you just start putting together a lineup, it's going to look maybe as normal as it ever has at any point this season.
At least in the past few weeks. I mean, the past month has been crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Horford in a revenge spot against Philly is fun. I don't think like Tobias Harris is going to be able to really do a great job on him. Christian Wood against the Kings with Rashawn Holmes, I think questionable for today's game is kind of interesting. There's obviously some risk there because I don't really know what's going on in Houston in general. But those are OG Anunoby against the Pistons. I will bring this up. So I like OG Anunoby against the Pistons. But I don't like Cade Cunningham. I'm sorry, Shannon. I think this is a terrible matchup for him. Although he did pop off against the Jazz. So hard to know exactly what to think, but I'm not sure I'd go with Cunningham tonight, who is 6,000
I should say.
That's the argument that I have for Cade Cunningham. I agree the matchup's not the greatest, but really the matchups have not mattered to Cade. The one determining factor, the one determining factor on whether or not he has a good game is typically how competitive are the Pistons tonight.
Right.
You know, even against Chicago, he was doing okay, got into a little bit of foul trouble in the first half, and then the second half started. And Chicago was immediately up by 25 points, and the game was essentially over. So Cade didn't even come off the bench again. You know, after he left the floor in the third quarter, I don't think he came back on the floor at all for the remainder of that game. But at 6,000, it's hard to find guys who have 45-point fantasy upside at $6,000. And not only 45-point fantasy upside, but who have routinely scored 45 fantasy points. You know, he hasn't been the best since returning to action, but I don't think six. I think he's actually a very good play for 6,000. You know, you mentioned Toronto, so that I'm going to bring up Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes, you know, another great rookie who's been playing really well. He's at 5,600. This is the lowest price for him that I've seen in a while. He's had a couple of stinkers since returning to the action, but he's also had couple games with over 35 fantasy points. I, you know, another guy with 35, 40 fantasy point upside who's, you know, 5,600. It's hard to pass that up. So whether OG and Barnes, I like both of them.
Guys, any interest in Jalen Suggs' return tonight for the Magic? Supposed to play tonight after a lengthy absence. Big over under. He's 5,600, but did not exactly light it up before getting hurt.
Yeah, I'm passing on Suggs. I do think Cole Anthony is a fantastic play for tonight. You know, another guy who's been crushing it for most of the season and it is somewhat discounted right now. 7,600. He has 42 or more fantasy points in three of the past four games, and he's still 7,600. I think Cole Anthony, even with Suggs returning and that game, that matchup against Charlotte, I like that matchup. I think Cole Anthony's going to have a monster night, but I need to see it from Suggs before I plug him back into my lineup.
Yeah, Suggs has to – I think he has to do some work in terms of kind of like reestablishing his role in the offense because he's been out and it's been – Franz Wagner has – I mean, especially when Cole Anthony was out, it was just like Franz Wagner was running the show. He was getting like 4, 5, 6 assists a game, scoring 20 points like almost regularly. Now Cole Anthony's back, taking some of that usage back. And it's just, I'm not sure where the usage for Suggs is. I still feel like I'm in the minority in liking Suggs long-term. But not tonight in his first game back. Although we should say it was a thumb injury. So his wind may not be necessarily the issue. Or like they're worried about his knees or something like that. There's so many options that are just like these guys are nicely priced. LaVine at 7,200.
Yep.
Against Golden State. I mean, we just saw the Bucks annihilate Golden State, and this is a back to back for Golden State. They still don't have Draymond. Klay is going to be out. Not that Klay was giving them like anything amazing defensively at this point. And I know, I mean, you look at LaVine's numbers, this is like five games fantasy points wise, 33, 33, 27, 31, 31. But even at 7,200, that's fine. Like, it's not amazing. But if he hovers in that low 30s range, like, he's not screwing you over. Like, his floor is so high.
Is Jordan Poole at only 5,100 and Klay back on the bench? Is that an option for the Warriors?
Give that a look. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he can definitely – I mean, we know he can pop off for, like, huge scoring games. And he's been kind of low lately because of, like, guys returning, the team being healthier. But yeah, Klay's out, Draymond's out, Gary Payton is out, I think, or he left the game last night. I forgot exactly what happened. But there's an opportunity here for Poole to see, I think, 30 minutes potentially. And this is just quick on the fly. Yeah, he's almost a fantasy point per minute in games that he's seen at least 30 minutes. So 5,200 or 5,100, yeah, I think that's solid.
Yeah, there's some value to be had there with the Golden State. You know, Otto Porter is another guy. I actually think Andrew Wiggins at 6,000 is a good price. Wiggins is tough. He's coming off three stinkers in a row. But that coincided with Klay returning. Without Klay out there, you know, Wiggins is essentially going to be the de facto number two scoring option for the Warriors tonight. So I like him more than most nights. One other guy that I like quite a bit, who you mentioned, Alex, is Christian Wood. Christian Wood, and this goes the same for Zach LaVine. They're essentially their $8,000 players who are priced at $7,200 right now. On the season, Wood's averaging 35 fantasy points per game. He's still topped for 40 fantasy points in three of the past five games. He just happens to have a couple stinkers where, you know, he was benched one game and then suspended the next because of that benching. But really, since then, he's been fine. And before that, he was great. You know, he's basically like a 42 point outing every other game. It's hard for me to pass up Wood in that scenario. Same for LaVine.
Well, let's keep it moving. I know Ken has a hard stop very soon, so we'll jump into Ken's old man rant.
Arrgh, it is damn cold. We have a weather advisory here in Vermont for wind chill of minus 40 degrees over the next 30 hours. I'm wearing flannel-lined pants and vests all the time, which makes me look like 300 pounds. Help me, it's cold. Arrgh.
You got to take the dog out in that weather?
Yes. He has the lamest looking sweater my daughter makes him wear. And it's not a manly feeling walking around with a dog in a sweater. Of course, it's so damn cold. Yeah. No one knows who anyone is. I got my baklava on, a hood up, and I got a headlamp because it's dark at like noon around here. It's pathetic looking. It's pathetic.
Roto wire embroidered ski mask. That's our next holiday present. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast presented by WinBet. Oh, mispronounced names.
I got Alex Burke instead of a Alec Burks.
Well, you just stick it again because it's Alec Burks. It's a tough one. People be like, Alex Burke? Alec Burks? What do I say here? I think you also didn't know Facundo Campazzo's name, or you said Facu. I don't even know what you
said. I screwed up his first name. I did get Campazzo right. We've only mentioned him like each of the last four episodes, but yes, I got his first name wrong.
Weird amount of exposure on the RotoWire Basketball Podcast that Campazzo has.
Big game last night. He was a monster.
He was in a blowout. They put up 140 the Nuggets last night.
It's crazy. The podcast is presented by WinBet. Ken, take us out of here.
For today's out quote, let's go to Cleveland, where the Cavs are still sixth in the East. Head coach J.B. Bickerstaff is doing a great job. A while back, before facing the Spurs, Coach Bickerstaff said this about Spurs coach Greg Popovich. Quote, he doesn't have a beard tonight. I should have shaved mine. That makes me nervous. Means he's up to something. Attention, passengers. This 3-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line.